Hello, this is Christine, and you are listening to the Yarnings Podcast. Please grab a drink and join me for episode 5, Bazaars. Do they have bazaars in your area? Things around here tend to be called crafty fairs or holiday markets, sometimes bazaars, sometimes a Christmas market. But whatever they're called, we do tend to have a lot of them in the Portland area. And I've only been noticing for the last couple of years, maybe they've always been here. I think that maybe they've just become more public and not just part of a Christmas basement sale or a church fundraiser. They are more for crafters and for people looking for great ideas for holiday gifts. So, why am I talking about these? Well, I found out this week that I am going to be presenting my KDLB products, shawls and scarves and accessories, at the Vancouver Farmer Market holiday version in the Vancouver Hilton. And I am so excited about that. It is going to be so cool to actually see real people reacting to my products. And people in real life, I mean. So it should be a lot of fun. So my brain is totally on bazaars and craft shows and all of that. So let's take a break from that and I'll tell you a little more about what I'm yarning and some geekiness and something from my kitchen that got really rave thoughts on Twitter. And I will giggle throughout. So this week my yarnings have been very focused to just stuff for my store. I don't think that I worked on anything that was for me personally this week. And I kind of miss that, but that's obviously what needs to be done right now. So I've done some prototypes for things that I'll be wanting to sell, some face cloths and a pretty stole, and then of course lots more scarves. And I finished a beautiful custom item for my friend Brandy and got that sent out to her. She had a purple version of one of my purses and it turned out really cute. I'm very pleased with how it turned out and she seems happy with it. So one of the more interesting yarns that I've worked with this week is called Marla by Classic Elite Yarns. It's been discontinued, so I've gotten it from a couple of bag sale sources, and then I also was able to find some through people's stashes that were they were willing to destash on Ravelry, which that turned out to be a really great way to get some more of this. It's really weird because it's 4 strands of probably sport to worsted weight yarn that are twisted together. And so the idea of it, I guess, is to work with the 4 strands together. But I've also taken the colors apart and done individual colors on a scarf. I like it both ways. It's a lot of work to do it with single strands to divide them all up because there is a twist. And so you can't just start winding balls very easily without paying attention to that. So yeah, it's kind of a fun yarn, and if you see some on sale somewhere, it would be worth picking up. The colorways are really nice. I really like how they picked colors that went together really well. This week was also the opening of sign up for classes for Madrona, which is a fiber festival in the Tacoma area. And I am quite excited about going to this because I will be meeting up with some of my podcaster friends that I met at Oregon Flock and Fiber. And I got into the 2 classes that I was hoping to. I'm really looking forward to the year 2011 for increasing my knowledge in some other areas. And this is going to be a great start to the year. The conference is actually in February, so it might be a little early to be thinking about classes, but no, it really is going to December is going to jump by, and It'll be February before you know it. So, there are still some classes available. I'll link to their website in the show notes. And if you are in the area, if you're going to be going to Madrona, I really would like to meet you. That would be so much fun. So, I'll be keeping you posted on some of the things that I'll be doing while I'm there. And here's the part where I get a little geeky. This week, I was laying in bed with Eric. We were waiting to fall asleep, and we started talking about books. And so I pull out my phone, and we started browsing lists of best sci-fi books because that's what he is most passionate about. And he was figuring which ones he'd read and which ones he hadn't, and we were making little lists in my notebook, and we were just so geeky. One of my comments was something that showed how my personality was made known early in life because I remembered reading Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and Eric confirmed that that was really the one where the elevator went out of the building. And when I read it when I was a kid, I just could not understand conceptually how an elevator could go out the top of the building. What would it attach to? What did it do? Did it just fly magically through the sky? So it just was really funny to realize even then what a concrete thinker I was that I really didn't have that same imagination that some kids did when they read that story. So we have a really nice list of books that Eric should be reading so that he has read everything that is considered best sci-fi. And I added a few things to my Goodreads while we were doing that. I'll link to my account in the show notes, and you are welcome to add me as a friend over there so we can see each other's reading. Some of the things that I did write down that I should read were the Tiffany Aching books by Terry Pratchett. They're part of Discworld, and I have the audiobooks on my desktop somewhere. So I'd like to actually listen to those instead of just having the audiobooks sitting there waiting for me to listen to them. Another one that we wrote down was City of Ember. Eric and I enjoyed the movie of that on Netflix, and so we were thinking that the book might also be interesting. I must confess that most of my reading recently has just been knitting and crocheting books and things to help me with my business, and not much fiction. I stuck a few fiction books next to my bed a couple months ago, and they still are sitting there. They're just ones for my bookshelf. And I'd like to get back to it, but right now, at this point in my life, I'm just not into it. And I think I probably do go through stages of that. My friends at the library are part of a book group as well, and I miss sometimes being able to be part of the discussion. But on the other hand, I'm just not finding the time to pick up the books and read them. So I think that's okay too. When I do read, I tend to read Christian fiction. There is a lot of great Christian fiction out there, and I read many of them at the beginning of my reading history. And then in the last couple of years, I've re-picked up things that were massive epic stories like the Winslow Family series by Gilbert Morris, which was 40 or 50 books long. And I had started reading that as a teenager. So that's a little bit about my geeky reading habit. I have experimented a little in the kitchen this week, making a pasta dish with a lot of spinach in it that actually turned out really yummy, with butternut squash on the side. But the more exciting creation that I made this week, I tweeted about and I got a whole bunch of replies wanting the recipe. So, my super sweet potato fries recipe is now up on the Red Kitchen, and I'll link to that in the show notes. And what it is sweet potatoes or yams chopped up into slices, and then baked in a oil and syrup mixture with spices. And I kind of combined a couple recipes and played with it until I got it the way I liked it. Last night I had too much oil, but I think that was a measuring problem, not a recipe problem, because I've never had that much in the bottom of it before. But the nice thing about making your own sweet potato fries rather than buying frozen ones, there are frozen ones out there now. But most of them actually come with the fat already in them, and so you can't really do anything about that. They are way easier, obviously, but when you make your own, you can control how much oil, how much sugars are in it, and really make it to your liking. So the recipe has olive oil, maple syrup, cinnamon, and paprika. It's a really cool combination, and you take that and you put it in a plastic bag and you toss your slices of sweet potatoes up in it and then bake it for quite a while, turning regularly. And we served it next to vegetarian chick patties on the side, and they just are delicious. So, good time of year with sweet potatoes and yams on sale. It would be a great thing that's fairly easy after Thanksgiving when you don't feel like cooking too much, and try it out. In my crafty biz this week, obviously, I have been thinking a lot about bazaars, and last weekend we actually went to one called the Check 'em Off Holiday Event, and it was especially green, where they had a lot of recycled things or things that you could reuse or things made out of sustainable products. And so it was a really nice mix of stuff. They had like the Humane Society and people there with composting bins, and those aren't things that catch my eye, but there were also bags made out of burlap that were really cool, and some really interesting jewelry and bags made out of old chip bags and recycled vinyl. And it was just a really fun little walk through. It was not at a big location, and but it was a really nice way to get my brain going and thinking of Christmas gifts, because I do have quite a few to buy. Actually, it's not quite as many as it has been in the past because we've scaled down our family gifts, but it's still a nice pile that I need to find the perfect things for people. I really pride myself on being someone who thinks a lot about gifts and tries to get the best value for my money so that I can put other little fun things along with them. Can't always happen, but I really try. So, I wrote a post about this specific bazaar, and that I'll link in the show notes so you can see. And I made an Etsy treasury of some of the vendors that were at the bazaar and other local to Vancouver, Washington vendors. And that was a fun chance to look at Etsy from a local perspective. I really do enjoy buying local when I can, and Vancouver local is even better than just Washington, Oregon. So, yeah, you can check both of those out in the show notes. Besides the bazaar that I will be at, which is December 12th and 19th, there are several others that I plan to attend. America's largest holiday bazaar is at the Expo Center in Portland, and that is really huge. There are two humongous rooms full of stuff. And one of my favorites is the pepper jelly. So I'll have to remember to get some of that so I can enjoy that throughout the year and maybe bring it down to California for my friends. I will also go and visit Crafty Wonderland because I really enjoyed going to their spring summer sale, And I was hoping that maybe that would be the one for me to present at this year, but they had a lot of applicants. So I didn't get into that one, but I still want to go and see it because it was outstanding. And that one is December 11th, and it's in the convention center, the big Twin Peaks one where Stock Summit was at and will be again. And then I might go to the farmers market, holiday market, the week that I'm not presenting, just to get an idea more of the space and how people have set things up. This is my first time, so I don't quite know how my display will go, but I know that my craft room is going to turn into a model of what I'm thinking so that I can make sure it works out beforehand. So, it's bazaar season. I hope that you get a chance to look at some that are local to you, and I would love to hear about them and hear about some of your favorite bazaar purchases. Went out with my sister and my little nephew Liam last weekend, and while we were looking for some shampoo for her, I ran into a display of nail polish, and I just could not pass up Riveter Rouge by China Glaze. I looked at this one when I was with Leslie a month or so ago and liked it so much because it is the same color as my shiny red shoes. So I put that on my nails this week so that I could be all matchy matchy and cute for my farmers market jury. It may have worked. While I was with Megan, I also got new mascara, and she's a Mary Kay independent consultant, and so she is my supplier for mascara, and it's so nice to have fresh. You just don't realize how low it's gotten until you get a new one. So, don't forget, you should be changing your mascara regularly, like more than twice a year. Maybe 3 or 4 times a year, you should have fresh mascara. And that's your health tip of the day. So, let's see, what else? I'm planning Eric's birthday party for December. I'm getting custom orders together for some holiday gifts that people have purchased from me. And then I'm just working like crazy on getting as much product as I can to show at my holiday fair. And hopefully, I'll have the best selection of things to make the most people happy. It's a challenge. So, next time on Yarnings, we will have a thankful episode because it will be after Thanksgiving. We'll be spending Thanksgiving again this year with my family so that then we'll have more time to go down and be with Eric's family around the Christmas season. And so there'll be lots of things to be thankful for, and I look forward to sharing them with you in my own giggly, geeky, girly way. You can find the show notes and everything that we've talked about today on yarningspodcast.com. There's a link there to add us in your iTunes and a link to the Ravelry group where you can come and discuss more about the podcast. And if you'd like to follow me around during the day, I'm KDLB, just the letters, on Twitter. And I'm Christine with a K on Ravelry. Thanks again for joining me. I will see you next time, and for now, that's the story.